feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs. Up to camp with Stephen King. River curses, Wesley sings. Homegrown horror.
Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Homegrown This is the bonus episode where we watched, what did we watch?
We watched the 1995 Stephen King adaptation of a Stephen King movie, Dolores Claiborne, starring Queen Kathy Bates.
I'm Jackson, co-host.
I'm Bea, co-host.
And yeah, I would say that this is the first time we've, in a long, long time, have watched a movie that we both were like, this is actually good. Like, yeah. In the middle of it, I was like, I'm surprised how good this is.
And my wife, who has watched, I think, the last couple ones with us, has hated every single moment. She actually really enjoyed this one.
Yeah. Super sad.
Yes.
Very, very sad. Big feels.
Big, big feels. I feel like I was saying that some of my favorite Stephen King stuff is when he sort of sticks to things that are more grounded in reality. Like, I like Pet Sematary. I like It. But there's just something about the realism that he does.
No, I agree.
Like, it's real good.
No, I agree. I think, like, Cujo, that's kind of realistic.
Cujo is the other one that, like...
Cujo is just a bad time. But it was, like, really, really well done.
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing is... I knew the plot, but I knew the twists and turns, so it was really fun. Like, I like knowing things.
That's
half of the fun. I literally told Allegra the other day, I was like, I wish I could get paid just to know things. And she said that was the most Gemini thing she ever heard.
Just hold that information over people's heads.
Just want to know things.
Just want to know all the things.
But yeah, so this came out in 1995, and like I said, it stars Kathy Bates. If you don't know Kathy Bates, she was also in Misery prior to this, which is another Stephen King adaptation.
A good one.
That unfortunately we won't be watching because it doesn't take place in Maine, but some of you young folks might also recognize her from a little TV show called American Horror Story.
Yeah, you might know her from that.
Yeah, just...
She's got a long... she's a big dramatic actor. And has had sort of touches here and there with the horror verse.
Mm-hmm.
So she really takes apart.
Oh my god, she's so
the scenery.
She's so good. Her daughter in the movie is played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, which looks like she, so. I kind of was looking because she seemed really familiar, but she actually isn't in anything that I have actually seen.
Really?
But she's known for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh,
Last
yes,
Exit
I've seen
to
that.
Brooklyn, Miami Blues, and then she also was nominated for a Golden Globe in Miss Parker and the Vicious Circle. Lots of other
only seen Fast Times.
Yeah. We also have Christopher Plummer, who is a total asshat in this movie.
Absolute dickweed.
Absolute dickweed. And he was, let's see, he was in, oh, he's in Pink Panther. Some of the older Pink Panthers, but he was in Malcolm X, A Beautiful Mind, which, fun fact, we watched A Beautiful Mind in my health class.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God.
A Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, Knives
why?
Out.
Why? Just like, here's a mental illness.
Yes. That's okay. Exactly why. And then David Russell Strathairn? Strathairn?
Strathairn.
Strathairn.
I said Strathairn.
He's also an asshat in this movie.
He is an asshat. A lot of asshats in the movie in general.
Yes.
But really well done asshats.
Yeah, but so he is in the ones that I recognize is A League of Their Own. Is the one that I recognize.
Oh my gosh,
he's also
yes.
In Good Night and Good Luck.
Wait, I think he's also an abusive asshole in that movie.
He's also in The Bourne Ultimatum and The Bourne Legacy. And was also in that Lincoln movie that came out in 2012.
Yeah.
With Daniel Day-Lewis.
With Daniel Day-Lewis and a blanket.
Oh.
That's what I remember is Daniel Day-Lewis being acting like Abe Lincoln, but just wearing a blanket.
I also feel like I would be remiss not to mention that he also was in a small, very unknown TV show called The Sopranos.
Never heard it.
Never. So there's actually kind. There's some the base. Okay, the basis of this film.
We have some big swingers here coming in. We have people who are at least seasoned. You know.
Yeah. The coming heart from some of
good
this
stuff.
The heart of this film is very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very strong. And I really liked it.
I loved it. Yeah, I kind of like things I liked. I did like how dated. There was some parts that felt dated,
mm-hmm.
but everything kind of looked good still. Like yeah. I liked all the cinematography that they had. I didn't think it was like super over the top amazing, but I was like, this is one of the few times you like watch a B horror movie and you're like, this angle makes sense.
Yeah. I had mentioned it. Well, I love, because there's a lot of like moving in between like present day and the past. Oh my gosh.
Those shots are amazing.
And it'll be like,
actually,
you know, it'll be like she is looking out and then suddenly, like she was looking out from the porch and then suddenly it transforms to the summer day where they're looking for her dead husband, or yeah. like her hands turned into like his hands. It was yeah. like just it was so seamless, and it felt like it really felt, because there is some mental illness stuff at play too, and I like that. Everything like memory and the present sort of blend together in a weird way.
I did think it was kind of weird with the sort of the flashes. So I thought the flashes were just like, oh, she's having like dementia right yeah. now. And, but they felt more just like she's reliving the traumatic moment.
Yes.
Because then it switches to, it goes into these past situations when she's just telling a story of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens at least like two times in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it was interesting because originally I thought this like, oh, this is her like trauma surfacing. And then I was like, oh no, this is just like to show what's happening. Really.
Some of it is.
Yeah.
Like that, the first time it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause she's just staring like staring out. Off.
I think that there's a little bit of both, but it looks so good. And I was like, the flow feels really good. It's about an hour and 20, it's 2 hours and 11 minutes. Sorry, I can fucking speak. 2 hours, 11 minutes. How do you feel about that runtime?
I think that, honestly, I think that it was really well done. I thought the runtime was fine. The movie is very slow.
Yes. It's a slow burn for sure.
It is a very slow burn, but the acting is good enough and the scenes are interesting enough that it I do forgive it a lot. The writing's actually really good. The conversations feel pretty pretty real in a lot of ways. And they're just gripping scenes throughout the whole movie. Like, and I think like the interspersion of like these flashbacks almost kind of help drive that. Because it kind of refreshes your brain almost. Because it's like, in the moment when we're watching the movie, everything is dark and gray.
Yes.
Those are like the color tones the entire movie for present day. But then when you go to the eclipse or that summer day, everything's really bright. Everything's really vibrant. And like they have a different kind of like lighting aesthetic that they've applied to everybody throughout all the scenes, even indoors, where it's like everything seems brighter. But also it's like, actually one of the worst times possible.
Absolutely.
For these characters. So I just really like that sort of like juxtaposition there of that scene. And then also like coupling it with present day. It's kind of like, but we're living, like we pretended that this was good. Mm-hmm. Like we were like holding on to something and now we're like living with that nightmare.
Yes. It's also so, the thing that I think is really interesting about the movie too is it always just reminds you that, like, it's a good reminder that, like, your perception of the truth is not always true.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I guess the theme is really, like, regressed memories and trauma.
Which, Stephen King is not, he's no stranger to that.
Yeah, and I say that, like, we've both read some of his stuff, and there are some really good moments. And I mean, we've really only read the supernatural stuff. We haven't read anything like serious.
I have read, in addition to the two books that we read, which were
It and Pet Sematary.
And Pet Sematary. I've also read a couple of his short stories for like creative writing classes.
I have read a couple of like, short stories.
The Sound, is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say that that's not necessarily supernatural.
I think the ones I've seen it were supernatural, like The Mist. I had already seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Other ones I'm sure I've seen as well. Well, Shawshank, you know, I guess that's kind of it.
Shawshank is also grounded. Shawshank and Misery, I think, are the other two.
Oh, and The Green Mile, sort of. There's like at the end, like, I like The Green Mile because it's mostly centered around reality, and then it kind of goes off the rails towards the end.
I think I've only ever seen one scene from The Green Mile.
When, like, yeah, he squirts The Shining everywhere.
No. At least I think it was The Green Mile. Someone gets electric chaired, and the sponge is not wet.
Yeah, that happens.
It's bad.
Yeah, it's a bad scene.
It's bad. I was like, my mom was watching it, and I was like, I'm taking my leave now. Goodbye.
Goodbye now. Goodbye.
But there's something also interesting about the fact that I'm going to say interesting a lot
in this episode. Interesting.
Because I had mentioned there are some things that seem to, like, that build onto, like, a Stephen King-iverse.
Yeah.
Because we do get in Gerald's Game, there is also the solar eclipse. So we've got that.
Eclipse has made a comeback.
Yes. We also hear about Shawshank.
Yes.
In this movie, too.
There's a lot of references to the other stuff.
It's really...
stuff.
I really like that.
Yeah.
About... And it probably has to do with... It was produced by Castle Rock.
Oh, yeah. So they care a lot about, like, yeah, the actual continuity of everything. Because
Castle Rock is Stephen King. So, <Yes. laughs> you know, it makes sense that it's like, okay, we really care about the integrity of these Easter eggs.
It makes sense.
But I very much like this movie. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
And I love the beginning. Because it's just vague enough that we can start to
wonder.
Because we get this old woman who's in a wheelchair. She falls down a flight of stairs and gets fucked up.
Yeah, she gets real, real hurt.
She gets real fucked up.
Then we get panicked shots of Dolores coming down the stairs.
Good old Kathy.
And then next, she's just staring off into space like a dead shark, and then runs into the kitchen and is scattering things, is all panicked.
I think it seems like she's trying to.
Really, man?
Nice. We don't really have an idea of what exactly she's looking for. It seems like maybe something to finish the job.
Yes, we get that impression once she starts fiddling through the knives and then sees the lovely marble rolling pan.
Initially, she picks up a pan.
She does.
But she knocks over a kettle of boiling water, which then saturates the pan. So now it's hot. So yes, then she sees this beautiful marble rolling pin. Looks like it's from like fucking... Magnolia, like, you know.
Yeah.
Our favorite, you know, Joanna Gaines. It's very modern. She picks it up. And you sort of see in her eyes that maybe this is not she wants.
She's very panicked.
She's super panicked.
Super panicked. So she's like shaking like a leaf. She goes over, takes the rolling pin, and the old woman... is lying backwards with her head over the stairs, and she's just saying, please, please. And then she's about to she's raising the pin over her head, and she's shaking a lot still. And then the mailman comes bursting through the door. The mailman
walks in.
Very presumptuous mailman.
Very presumptuous.
Yeah, normally you just put it through the slot, but this guy is just like, here I am.
I guess that's the small town vibe for you.
Yeah, right. It's like, we'll just walk into people's houses.
And he's just very much like Dolores.
What you doing?
Put it down. He gets a vibe very quickly. He's like, I know what's happening. So he has her put down the pen.
Yeah.
And the old woman is dead. This is Vera, by the way. Yeah. Vera is dead. And he's like, oh my God. We cut to New York City.
New York City!
New York City. And we meet Dolores's daughter, whose name is escaping me.
The girl from Celine. Beetlejuice.
What?
She looks like the girl from Beetlejuice.
She is not the girl from Beetlejuice.
She looks like her. Anyway, it's Selena.
It's Selena. This is not, the teenage witch. It's not Lydia. Oh, no. I'm leaving. We meet her. She works at a newspaper, and she's talking to her editor, and they're kind of going back and forth. She has this big scoop, and he's like, I haven't put you on that case yet. And she's like, you're gonna. And apparently,
I got the scoop.
They used to fuck. She's like, you know, you're not fucking me anymore. You're just fucking me. Because you won't give me this story and won't let me. Because there's something about this case that's big enough that she's hoping that she's also going to get a book deal for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she believes her whole career is riding on this. And then the secretary comes in and she's like, there's a fax here for Selena.
I got a fax for Selena.
Got a fax for Selena.
A fax for Selena.
She's like, it's from the Bangor Daily News. She gets it. And she's looking at it, and she's like, is there not a cover sheet? Because it's just an article that says, socialite dead, housekeeper,
probably murdered her.
And, yeah, Selena's immediately like, okay, what? And she's like, who the fuck sent this? So she goes, and there's just one, behind the fax cover sheet is all in big letters, is this your mom? ? And I'm like, ominous.
Ominous.
Very ominous.
Well, our first question was, how rude? Who the fuck sent this?
Who the fuck?
Like, sending this via fax. Like, bruh, come on. Pick up the phone. You got phones.
Why are you scared?
Why are you scared?
Why are you hiding behind this fax machine, bruh?
Yeah. Cowards. The cowardly use of a fax machine.
How dare.
It is wild to me that, like, back in the day, you could just drop a fax to anybody.
I hate fax.
I also hate fax. I've used a fax machine, like, 3 times in my life. All miserable experiences. I hated it.
I use fax machines a lot. Not fax machines, but I use faxing a lot in my job. And it's a pain in the ass, especially when it's just sort of like, it doesn't work. And sometimes it's literally, it'll just come back like, phone line was busy.
We're busy.
And I'm like,
we're busy.
Motherfucker. Clear your phone lines. So it's like,
well, it's only like the one line is the fax line.
I know. So that means that if someone else is faxing them at the same time you're faxing them,
your faxes collide.
Goodbye.
You're like, we can't deal with this.
Yeah, it bounces it all the way back. And it's a pain.
Yeah. So I think like anytime I've had to fax something, I've had to try to go through like 10 times.
Mm-hmm. It sucks. Selena goes to Maine. It's called Little Tall Island.
Yeah.
I'm going to look and see if that's real quick, but continue. You go.
Kind of reminds me of like the band Little Big. Oh, or Little Big Man, the movie. I'm talking now. I'm talking about this movie. Boy, what a movie.
Jackson.
What?
It is fictional. I do think, though, although it is fictional, it feels very real.
Yes.
In the way that they portray it. How it's this small little town, and I didn't look and see where it was shot. I will look at that later, but I love the fact that it looks like Maine.
It does look like Maine.
We've seen a lot of stuff recently that they're saying is Maine.
But it's, like, just a bit off. This felt full... full front to back. This is Maine right here. I
really loved that.
Yeah.
Even the ferry, like, I assume ferries everywhere are kind of similar, but just, I really felt like I'm in Maine. And again, it could be because
people are in their wellies. They're in their shitty sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around. They're a little upset at the weather. It's very gray right now.
They're upsetty spaghetti at the weather.
Upsetty spaghetti.
She rolls up into town, and we get to... she drives to town hall and enters the building, and this guy greets her and is like, hey, who are you? And she's like, I want to speak to Dolores Claiborne. And it's we notice here the Bangor Daily News article that she had gotten in New York had her as Dolores St. George. So we're like, discrepancy. Something's going on here. Why would a woman change her last name, I wonder? We'll find out. They get the constable. He comes up and he recognizes her as Selena St. George. And he's like, hey, how's it going? And the guy that had stopped her when she first came in, he's like, I'm the detective, on, you know, investigating Vera's murder.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've met before. It seems you don't remember me. Immediately, I got bad vibes from
him. Yeah, I got bad vibes.
I feel like the actor does an excellent job of being like, this guy's kind of not...
He's kind of smug. He's got a very arrogant air to him as well. Like, he feels like it's all just coming together. Everything will just fall into place.
And I know what's correct, and what I know is the truth, and therefore it is law.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And she immediately doesn't like this.
No, exactly.
And she is just kind of like, hey, so where's my mother? And they're like, oh, she's upstairs. And she asks if her mother is being detained.
Yeah.
And they say no. She's like, then why the fuck are you making her stay here? Good point.
Yeah. I guess she can go.
But that's the thing, is like, suspects usually aren't detained.
Yeah, no, well, they can go.
I lie. That's not a total truth, because we've seen a lot of cases where suspects are not...
flight risk.
They're not lawfully detained either.
Well, yeah.
So
there's that.
So I don't think we find out exactly what kind of reporting she does initially, but we do find out that she...
hardcore journalism. This is like Panama Paper shit.
Yeah, she has been in courtrooms. She very much is like, we need to get a lawyer. She's seen a couple things. She's seen some shit.
Yeah.
In her course as a journalist, and she's like, my mom's not going to be another headline.
We got some hints later on, like, how illustrious her career is.
Yes.
You know, but like, later on, like, Dolores herself drops, like, a little, like, oh, you got to interview this really important
Nixon
guy. Yeah, it was
Nixon. She interviewed fucking Nixon.
Yeah. And then she downplays it, like,
No. Bro. What?
Whatever.
Nancy Reagan.
Yeah, Reagan was a thing also. Stevie Nicks, I don't know. Sammy Davis Jr. was another one that they mentioned.
So she's seen a thing or two in her tenure as a journalist. You can tell immediately that they don't... that there's some sort of rift between mother and daughter. I also want to insert here, so this is where we start really hearing the accents. I got used to them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
I also
not
got used to them.
100 with them. Sometimes they hit the ear and they're like, yeah, that's Maine. And other times they hit and you're like, sounds more transatlantic. And then other times they disappear.
I'd say the person that had more of the egregious stuff earlier was John C. Reilly.
Yes.
He was really trying hard to go for something and, yeah, it was coming off transatlantic. There are some people that committed to, like, a very light sort of tinge.
I feel like the light tinge works better.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I sort of have realized outside of What's His Face from the original Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? The old man.
Old man. Paul Blart.
Malco?
I think his name was Paul, wasn't it?
No, I don't think so. In any event.
Peter.
You're just going through the disciples now.
Patience.
In any event. There have been very few main accents put to screen that I think are done well. And
Pablo.
some of these are they're hit or miss in this movie, but I get used to it because the acting is just so fucking good that I can overlook it.
It was very excellent overall. Like, again, things are coming off really well. Even in just sort of these introductory, like, conversations, everything flowed sort of well.
Yes.
In itself.
Dolores is also a sass master.
Very sassy.
And immediately starts sassing the constable and the main state detective.
Oh my goodness.
Immediately. What's his name? Malky?
Malky.
Malky.
Or Mackie.
Mackie is the main state detective. Sass. The sass.
She's dripping venom.
She's dripping venom.
She's throwing bars out here.
We do get a hint that Mackie was involved in the investigation of...
Oh, one of my favorite ones. One of her favorite... Okay, favorite quip.
Yes.
It's like, I'm going to kick your ass so hard, you're going to look like a hunchback. Yes. She says that to, like, a bank teller.
Yes, she does. Dolores's vibes are so immaculate.
Yes.
She is so strong, despite the things that we learn that she goes through.
Yeah.
She is so staunch in her zeal.
Yeah. I was not expecting girl power for this movie.
So good. So good. The other one that it comes up a couple times is, like, sometimes being a bitch is all a woman has left.
Yeah, it comes up a few times.
And I was like, it's kind of true, especially when you get to where she is in life. Mackie was the investigator that handled Dolores's husband's
murder
question mark.
Murder?
She was never indicted.
Yep, that's true.
There's no indictment.
Couldn't prove it.
I would also like to say that this is where I asked, do we think this is a conflict of interest? And you were like, no, there are people that handle multiple cases.
Yeah.
But we're putting a pin in that because there's a larger discussion about this later on. The constable is like, you know, you can't go back to Vera's house because we find out that
it's
a crime scene, but she was living with Vera. And she's like, well, I do have my own house.
Yeah, they were roommates.
That's where I'm going to... Do you think they were roommates? Or do you think they were just two very lonely... Like, they... Lonely women with no one else in the world.
I would love to read...
But each other and their secrets.
I would love to read the book because I almost feel like he would take it that...
You think
to that
take
direction.
It there. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were roommates.
Roommates, you say.
They were roommates.
Really good friends.
Excellent friends. They drive back up to their house, or what was Dolores's house. It's very weather-beaten. Lots of
graffiti.
We get a little
crude jokes.
Says bitch. Dolores asks. We do see a little bit of, like, there's some children as she's coming out of the town hall where she was being detained. They start immediately being like, "You fucking killer bitch!" So people do not like Dolores.
No, she's got a bad reputation in town.
Which, honestly, once you learn everything that has happened to this woman, it's kind of devastating when you see, like, the reality of what her, like, you know, how people treat her.
Yeah.
It is devastating.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And so they go inside the house. Luckily, Dolores has continued to pay for the electric bill, so there is still electricity. There's no phone. Some of the windows have been shattered. She's just kind of trying to do her best to get things, because now her daughter's here. They've been seeing each other in a long time. And
Selena just does not want to be here.
Selena doesn't want to be here. She's like, I'm going to go stay at the motel. And she's like, the motel's closed. It's off season. She's like, what about this one? And she's like, that burnt down like 5 years ago.
So it's like, you're stuck here.
You're stuck here. And this is, we do start getting some flashbacky things.
Yeah, mostly of like the one that we get right off the bat is the scene of the police searching the immediate area of the house to look for, Dolores' husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just a prolonged, like, her staring off into space scene almost. She cries out for Selena to get into the house because she's imagining her as a child. And then Selena's like behind the door.
I'm in the house.
Like, I'm already inside. It's like, what are you doing?
The other one that we get as they're sort of establishing, Selena does go out to the store. She comes back and we start sort of establishing their relationship and the contention.
Yeah.
Dolores, when Selena was gone, notices there's lots of she has lots of medication with her.
Yeah.
Lots of medication. And
she's stocked.
She initially doesn't say anything about it. And Selena is very much just sort of like, you know, the ground rules are, don't do anything to fuck up the memories that I have of this house.
Yeah.
What I have left. And this scene is also, it's so amazing. So she's looking past Selena and the door opens and her husband walks in.
Yeah. That's a really cool scene.
And so like the past starts bleeding in and
Dolores is brought back to this like weird night. Yeah. When
he comes home,
he's coming home
and we find out he's an AA. But then we also find out that he's sneaking drinks.
Yeah. He's like pouring whiskey into his Coke can as he's just mm-hmm. kind of chilling there.
He has a little moment with young Selena, you know, kind of she made tapioca pudding and he's like, oh, really? And they have this little moment. And when Selena goes to do her homework, we get to learn who her husband really is. He's an asshole.
Yeah.
We know he's an alcoholic, but he's also a wife beater.
Yeah. He does this whole thing where he gets super offended because he has a big rip in his pants.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolores points it out and is laughing. He's like, look at you. You got this big rip in your pants. And he takes that really badly. So sort of calm at first and then retaliates.
Because at first you think, oh, he's going along with it because he sort of like makes a joke about
it.
The big moon. Then he picks up a log from the pile from the wood-burning stove.
Smacks her across the back.
Like the low back.
Yeah, real hard.
I felt that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was super fucking uncomfortable.
And it was jarring.
And then she's like crying in pain at the kitchen table. And then he just goes to this fucking like easy chair and smoking a cigarette and just reading the newspaper, ignoring her cries. It's fucking brutal.
It's so brutal.
And then Selena comes in later and she is still crying at the table because she's in so much fucking pain that the cabbage soup that she was making is like boiling over. And like Selena's like, what about the soup? It's like, oh, can you move it? And it's like, and then Selena asks if she can set the table and she's like, yeah, that'd be nice. She's hiding this discomfort.
She's like, I'm just resting. Something that I really got from Selena also, because in this moment, like, she is worried about her mother.
Yeah.
But there's also something that we get as we sort of move forward where I think she very much favored her father.
Yeah.
And I think that she does put a lot of, she feels like maybe her mother made her, like she had to take care of her mother in a way, not realizing how much her mother was actually going through / doing for her.
Right.
Because she probably remembers like, well, dad helped me with my homework. And then I had to set the table for mom and cook for mom because for some reason mom just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Not that dad fucking beat my mom.
Yeah.
To the point where she couldn't do anything. We also get later, I don't know if it's later. I think it is later that night. She actually, she's still sitting at the table. She picks up something. I can't remember what she throws at him.
She throws like a pot of cream almost
at his head,
like ceramic at his head, and he's like bleeding out of the side of his head. And then she takes an axe and holds it up to him and just threatens him and says, you can like fucking call me names, you can insult me, whatever, but if you hit me again, one of us is going to the boneyard.
Yeah. And then unfortunately Selena comes down again. Yeah. Selena's memory of this is, you hit dad. Maybe, like, as an adult, she's like, well, maybe he hit you, but...
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you hitting him and he was bleeding. And again, it's just like, that's the whole... Like, this is where we start seeing, at least for in Selena's, like, kind of arc, is what she remembers and her perception is not the full truth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that retaliation on Dolores's part is because her husband... is an abusive sack of shit.
Yes, yes.
I also love...
And that is like the kind of the running thing about why she's even being investigated. Ultimately, it's just like everyone else's perspective has been skewed and is like put on blinders to what the actual situation is.
It's insane.
Yeah. And so she's been like demonized for something that she's kind of justified in doing.
I literally said, I was like, some people, please don't take this out of context. This is in the context of fictional. This movie. In this movie and like in fictional, some people deserve to die. Joe is one of those people. Joe is one of those characters. Some characters deserve to die. And I love that when, you know, they tell Selena to go back upstairs and she does. Dolores throws the axe at him and she's like, because he gets up first, tries to get up, and she like gets down on her knees and she's like, go ahead, do it. Just do it fast.
Do it.
And I was like, but that's what I'm saying. It's just, she just is like, do that fucking shit one more fucking time.
Yeah, yeah. And then he just like,
he drops it.
Cowards out. He just goes back to insulting her.
He drops it.
He drops it. But yeah, fucking brilliant.
And then we find out that, so she's telling adult Selena this. This sort of flashback actually facilitated a conversation. And Selena's just like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with that information?
Yeah, seriously. It's like, what am I doing? What do I go from here?
And she's like, you know, she's like, what the fuck? What do you want me to say? And I'm like... Anything? I think she was just telling you that for, like...
Context.
Context, yeah. Of, like...
Like, here's my story, end of that, of what happened, so...
Yeah, I think it's like, I think you should know, because you're coming in here saying, like, don't ruin my memories of my father.
Yeah.
While, why would... He was a sack of shit.
Exactly.
I don't care if you want to have nice memories of him, because he beat me. And you're an adult now. And honestly, it is like, yes, Selena, you're an adult now, so let's talk about it. Here we are. Let's talk about it. I'm trying to figure out how we want to, like...
I think that if we, like, kept going back and forth on everything, I think we should just hit the beats.
We're gonna... And we're... Yeah. I think let's do past first.
We can talk about the past, yeah.
Since we're kind of here. We get it sporadically through conversations, but she... ends up working for this woman named Vera, who's a socialite. Very, like, she is a summer resident, her and her very rich husband. And she's super fucking particular,
very particular.
She struggles to have people working for her.
Yeah. I really like the way that Dolores says when she's dealing with sort of Vera's particularities initially is that, like, these preferences, these particularities are a prison on herself.
Yes.
It's like that she doesn't even realize this. Like, she has all these things she's worried about.
And it's things like
shining the silver once a week, making sure, like,
the windows have to be open for 2 hours, no more, no less.
All the windows.
She cannot use the dryer. She has to bring the linens out to air dry, and she has to use 6 clothespins.
Yeah.
To keep the sheets up. And it's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right. It's so, like, it is a prison.
Yeah, yeah.
And she doesn't even know. And I think a lot of it came from, we learn, her husband, not super attentive.
He comes up once a summer, and from what we saw, he just hits golf balls into the ocean.
Totally ignoring her.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I can control this. I can't control him. I can control this.
Yes.
I can control everything else around me. She works the summer, and Vera is pleased with her work. And so she's like, as she's leaving to head back to, I think, New York, wherever she's from.
Wherever.
She's just sort of like, I do need someone to come and check the house and make sure everything's in order. Would you be willing to do that for like $12 a week? It's like, whew. But she's like, absolutely. We find out that the money that she's earning from this is actually going into a college fund for Selena, because she wants Selena to get off the island.
Yeah, just a little something to be able to get out of there.
Because it seems like she didn't do very well, like Dolores didn't do very well in school and settled down with an asshat.
Yeah.
And she wants more for her daughter, which... noble, very noble cause.
Admirable.
So
we get back to the next summer, though, and Vera has returned.
Without a husband. She did.
Mm-hmm. And she's dead. He crashed his car or something at some point.
His car crashed.
Yeah, yeah. Coming from his mistress's house.
We learn that later.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry. what Dolores knows is he died in a car accident. She's kind of not sure what Vera's going to be like. Vera's the same, bright, vivacious.
She's actually happier now.
Oh, yeah. She's much happier. She's like, okay, that's weird, but go off, I guess.
She, like, rearranges the whole house, like, brings all of her stuff from her other residence and decides to be full-time in Maine. Then hires Dolores full-time.
Yes, she works full-time for Vera, and their relationship at this point is really interesting, because Vera is such an odd woman in the sense where, like, it's all airs, putting on airs until you get down to brass tacks and it's important, and then she's like, then she's all in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I kind of like that. I wouldn't I also would probably go crazy if I knew somebody like this.
I would not be able to work with a person like
that. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. What we do find out a little bit late, as we're sort of uncovering things, what Dolores is shocked to learn that there are a lot of things that Selena does not remember, one of which is being aggressively interrogated by Mackie, which... holy shit. I think there was a lawyer in that room.
Yeah, we were looking at that scene and we're like, he's like, leaning in really close, saying some fucked up shit to her. And it's just like, lawyer, step in, please. Leading questions, please.
Yeah, he's asking very leading questions. So she doesn't remember that. And the other thing that she doesn't remember is that her father was molesting her.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
this is a much later reveal into the movie.
Yes.
I think it's one of the last flashback scenes, actually. And it's disgusting.
It's so bad. Chronologically, what happens is there is sort of this fight that occurs between Dolores and Selena at the dinner table because Selena's grades are slipping.
Yeah.
And Dolores is trying to be firm and be like, I need to know why your grades are slipping. And you can tell that Selena is not the same as who we saw prior. Because before, she was very, like, bright and bubbly and vivacious. She's very
terrified.
And like closed, very closed off. And the dad is just sort of like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. She can go. And Dolores is obviously pissed because she's like, what the fuck, man? Like, I'm trying to get to the bottom of something and be a present parent and be like, this isn't normal. And they sort of butt heads there. She decides to go to the mainland, to Jonesport, where Selena works a part-time job as a maid. And Selena is very surprised to see her mother there. And is like, what are you doing here? There are some times where Dolores says or does things a little, like, aggressively.
Yeah,
but I can see why she's doing, like, in this instance, she's like, okay, this is a way for me to, a place for me to talk to my daughter without my husband present, because he's obviously being
super weird.
Super weird. She see, like, as they're on the ferry together, and she's just kind of like, I need to know, in order for me to help you, I need to know
what's going on.
Like, I need to know what's happening. And she touches her, and then Selena immediately is like, do not touch me. Don't touch me.
Yeah.
And they sort of, she's just kind of like, what's wrong? What's going on? And she actually sees that Selena is wearing a cameo necklace. Mm-hmm. And she's like, that was your great grandmother St. George's, or your grandmother St. George's necklace. I think it's everything combined. But after seeing the cameo, she has a sneaking suspicion that she's being molested.
Yeah. By Joe.
By Joe. Which upsets Selena when she's like,
this upsets me.
Yeah. She's like, has he gone at you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Selena almost falls off the ferry and slaps her mother.
Yeah.
Because she's like, don't touch me. Do not talk to me. You're crazy. You're insane. So there's an eclipse happening. The day of the eclipse, Selena goes to work at the motel on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's happening shortly after this, as she's trying to put the pieces together of like, what the fuck is going on in her own home? Dolores finds out that her husband has cashed out
the savings account that she had created for,
because she was going to,
daughter.
She was going to, while Joe was away working on the boats,
take that money
and leave. Her husband closed out the account, which, oversight. And she calls them out on it too.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
Because she's like, so my name's on the account,
but you just fucking gave my money away.
Because my husband told you, oh, I lost the passbook. What?
What? You fucked up.
You fucked up, man. And I just, she's like, it's because I'm a woman, isn't it? If I came in here saying I lost the passbook and it was my husband's name on the account, which they did say that it was the savings account was a custodial account, and so either parent can cash it out, which, weird.
Yeah, that is weird.
Weird. Especially since, like, in today's world, it's very much like, if you have a school account, they're like, if you cash it out before the school, like, they're at school and use it for something other than school, there's a penalty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same with, like, 401ks and things. That's what I'm thinking of, is, like, the fact that they were just sort of like, oh, yeah, she's nowhere near going to college, but this is a college fund.
Here's all the money.
Here's all the $3,000 that she has saved up.
Crazy.
And she's like, if the shoe was on the other foot, you would have called Joe. And she's like, I want you to think about the pain that you put me through by being negligent in not even giving me a call.
Yeah.
And she asks him, what do you do with the money? Do you know? Did he open an account? What did he do with it? So day of the eclipse, Selena has gone. So we're not abscond. Like, we can't abscond because, one, no money. Two, Selena's not here. As Selena leaves, she tries to chase after her, and she actually falls into, like, she trips over and, like, falls into a covered over old well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pin in that.
Mysterious well on my property.
And she goes to work because Vera's having a big old party.
An eclipse viewing party.
Jackson was so mad because everyone's like looking at the eclipse with no glasses.
Some guy like went by is like and says, I got my binoculars to look at the eclipse. And I was like, do not do that.
Are you crazy?
It's just a magnifying glass for your eye to get burnt.
Vera kind of notices that something's off
yeah.
with Dolores. You good?
Yeah.
You creaky.
I'm creaky. I'm 30. My back hurts.
So when I turn 30, is my back just immediately going to start hurting?
Yep.
She realizes something's not right with Dolores. And she comes into the room where Dolores is working. And she's like talking at her. And then Dolores starts to cry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she goes over to the other maid and is like, hey, can you go like put some tea on? I love this where she sits down and she starts like doing her like crochet, like whatever she's, I don't know what she's doing. She's
doing a cross stitch.
A cross stitch. Thank you. And, you know, she is just like, call me Vera. Cause when a woman is crying in my sitting room, you call me by my Christian name. When you're crying in my sitting room, woman to woman. And she confesses her fears that her daughter's being molested.
Yeah.
Her husband is a piece of shit. He
yep.
took all of her money.
Yeah.
And she's like, what if I'm wrong? And she's like, well, what if you're not? How far did he go?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't, what if I'm wrong? And then she's like, did he fuck her? And I was like,
it's very aggressive.
Very aggressive. And she's like, I don't know. My then second favorite thing Vera ever does, she's like, sometimes husbands die.
Yeah.
They die all the time. Like, sometimes they're driving home from their mistress's house and their brakes fail.
It's crazy. Crazy how that happens. Their brake line gets cut.
Ooh, Vera.
Vera spicy.
First favorite thing Vera does.
Yeah.
The party is in full swing. She comes over to Dolores and she's like, hey, we've got everything handled here. Why don't you go home and view the eclipse with your husband?
And Dolores is like,
You know?
Yeah, no, just the two of you.
Just the two of you.
It's just, you know. Selena's not there.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourselves.
And then she says, like, basically, do what needs to be done.
Holy shit.
Yeah, she's fucking crazy.
What do you do when your employer says, go home and kill your husband?
Oh, man.
I mean, again, bitch deserves it. So she does.
In the context of this film.
In the context of this film. He deserves it.
Yeah. So she goes home. She brings over a big old body of big old bottle of whiskey for Mr. Joe.
Which, fun fact, Selena's alcohol of choice is the same whiskey her dad used to drink.
Yeah, so it's pretty fucking
wild. Oh, it's fucked
wild.
Up.
So he's drinking all this whiskey. Dolores is acting overly nice to him, kind of lulling him into false sense. He's being a dick the entire time anyway. Until finally they get to the actual viewing of the eclipse. The eclipse is starting. And then Dolores drops the bomb. Where's the money? What'd you do with the money? And then she reveals everything. Like, the bank is not gonna come after you. You know?
I assume that when we didn't see it. But after she tells the bank guy that she's going to kick his ass so hard he's gonna become a hunchback. That when she's like, hey, what do you do with the money?
Yeah.
They investigate it and they found out he spent all the fucking money.
Yeah.
From the custodial account. And they were like, oops, our bad.
Yeah.
What? So she does say, they know you spent the money. They gave it back to me. Yeah. He's like, give me that money.
And then they get to, then she also asks about the...
They start fighting.
They start fighting, yeah.
He's like, puts his, like, hands on her.
Yeah, he like pushes her off the porch.
He tries to choke her out.
Yeah.
And I was like, immediately, at this point, it is self-defense.
Yeah.
Anything that happens from this point on, self-defense in my book. She does provoke him.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's sort of the plan.
Yeah.
The idea of the plan. She is like, how are your friends at the barbershop going to react when I tell them the only ass you can get is your 13-year-old daughter? And he immediately calls. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he's like, she's a little liar.
Yeah. Yeah. So calls her a tease.
He calls her a tease.
Gross. It's like when he said that, I was like, my skeleton is gonna come out of my body. I want to leave this earth.
Shuffle off this mortal coil.
Yeah,
my skeleton fell out at this point. It's on the ground. I have to collect it. I have nothing but a skin suit.
They fight some more until, like, Joe is chasing Dolores through the brush around the house, and she makes the leap over the well while Joe cracks through a bit of it and is hanging onto a log and is like, ah, oh, help me, help, ah. And then he falls in.
Long live the king.
Long live the king. Then he goes tumbling into the well.
Again, I asked you.
Yes.
Murder or manslaughter?
I think it's manslaughter.
I think it's manslaughter at best.
Maybe.
Manslaughter in self-defense. Well, yeah, I guess like, you would say self-defense because he was...
He was chasing after her.
Yeah, he's chasing after her. And also, like, are you obligated to save the life of somebody who is trying to murder you?
That's the thing, yeah. It's like, he might pull me in there. I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah. He might push me right in. He just tried to choke me out. There's no way he's going to be like, oh, you know what? Thank you for saving my life. I'm going to stop molesting our daughter. I'm going to stop beating you. I'm going to give you your money back. And I'm just going to go walk into the ocean. Said no one ever.
That'd be amazing. That'd be a different movie.
A different movie. I mean, the trauma already happened. But so he dies.
Yeah.
She brings the whiskey bottle over to make it look like he fell in.
Yeah.
I mean, he did fall in, and he was very drunk. And it seems like a lot of people don't totally buy this, including Mackie.
Yeah,
Mackie does everything that he can at that time to further abuse her daughter by making her cry and being like, where were you on the night of your father's murder? Like, bro, calm down. Calm down. And she does end up not being indicted for the murder.
Yeah.
And
Mackie takes that real personally.
And this is why I think it's a conflict of interest. So we get all of that backstory. Selena also leaves pretty quickly after that. Like, she gets a full scholarship elsewhere and basically distances herself from her mother. We do get... So we get these snippets through the movie. Now going all the way back to... she starts staying with Dolores. And it's supposed to be like a very short time period here. She does attempt to leave at one point because she just is like... attempts to leave a couple times, and she always gets thwarted or foiled in one way or another. She also does have a huge breakdown at one point. I can't remember what exactly triggers it, but she ends up mixing her, what I assume are anti-anxiety meds, and her alcohol.
Yeah.
Which Dolores is not super thrilled about, because she's like, it really seems like after Vera died, the only thing left in this world for her is Selena.
Yeah.
And to see her struggling is really hard. Especially, I think she believes that at that point, Selena remembers everything and being there is hard for her.
Yeah, because she keeps having these lashing out moments.
Mm-hmm. She is continuously trying to get lawyers for her mom. Dolores doesn't really seem interested in lawyers. Ugh. She is more interested in, initially, like, just getting her shit.
Yeah.
The constable and the Mackie come and they get a hair sample from her. And Mackie does poke the bear.
Quite a lot.
A lot.
So does Dolores.
They goad each other.
Yeah, they do goad each other. For sure.
And the thing that I really don't like is the fact that, yes, they're goading each other, but, like, Mackie has the power.
Yeah. He's the police officer.
Yeah, so he can goad her all he wants, and it's only going to hurt her.
Yeah. Otherwise, she just looks like an asshole.
Right.
When she does it.
It's... And she's like, you know, he's not someone that you want to make enemies out of. She's like, he's been my enemy. Do you not remember him? And that's sort of when she starts realizing, okay, there's some gaps.
There's this guy.
There's like gaps in Selena's memory.
Yeah.
They go to Vera's house to get her belongings, which you thought was wild. Because it's a crime.
It was an active crime scene. They're still like investigating everything. And they're like... Yeah, everything that's in a bag in this room you can't take. That's evidence. But everything else you can take. She's like, what the fuck? And then she picks up the scrapbook of clippings that Selena's
articles. Like, she has meticulously scrapbooked everything.
And so you get to see the full extent of, like, her, not only Selena's career, but also, like, oh, she does, Dolores does care.
Very much.
Yeah.
And we also get a flashback to of her, like, caring for Vera.
Yeah. Into the old age.
You definitely get a sense that these two women are kindred.
In some respect.
Like, it seems like they had a great deal of resentment for... I think she has resentment for Vera. Vera has a resentment for life.
Yes.
Once she is no longer able to... do anything.
Yeah, she becomes upset and she's like, she's actively like, I hate being alive. This is just constant pain. I'm never going to feel good again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, she's really handling everything badly.
Poorly.
Really handling it poorly. Then that brings us to Selena finally leaving. Initially leaving.
Something else big happens.
Okay.
As they're leaving the house,
because
she kind of gets into it with Mackie again, because they haven't cleaned up anything, like her bedpan or anything. And that's why I'm like, there is a degree of love there, because she is like, at least give this woman her dignity and throw away her pee.
Yeah.
Like, why is her pee being used as fucking evidence? I think it's because he's trying to prove, was he poisoning her? So they leave, and Mackie follows them out, and he's just sort of like, she's like, why would I kill Vera? And he's like, well, you had a motive, $1.6 million motive. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, Vera's will. She left everything to you, all of it, everything. So, of course, you killed her. He's like, the will was changed 8 years ago. And I was like, do you hear what you're saying, bitch?
8 years ago. You formulated a plot to eventually kill your employer.
And that does come up later. But I'm like, 8 years? 8 years? And... of course, the constable at least, like, steps up and is like, hey, what are you doing, man?
It's like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
It's like, chill out.
And Mackie, like, looks at Selena and is like, oh, she didn't tell you? You're a rich woman now, Dolores. And Dolores, like, has a full-blown, like, psychosis.
Yeah, she does.
She's just holding onto that scrapbook and walking, and she, like, Selena can't get her into the car. And she's like, I wish I had fucking killed, like, I'm not gonna lie. Vera kinda did make everything look sus as hell.
She did, yeah.
On accident.
Vera was a very sussy person.
Yeah, Vera is sussy in a lot of ways. But, and Mackie drives by, just sort of like...
Hey, what you doing?
What you doing? And I'm like, it's not your... She's having a mental breakdown. And I'm like, sir, do you really think that this is like...
Go away, sir.
Do you think that this is an act?
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably.
This is where she... And so we get a scene where Selena is just like kind of at her wit's end. And she's getting ready to like... I'm going to Arizona on Monday because I need to get my scoop. Gotta get my scoop. And she's on the phone with her editor and he's like, I gave the story to Maureen. It's not your story. She hangs up. She goes to have a drinky drink and Mackie rolls up. And Mackie is like, you and I are a lot alike.
That was even early into the movie.
Is it earlier in the movie?
Yeah, that's an early scene in the movie. That's almost like when she's...
Because it's at the same time that we find out she's not going to Arizona.
No.
Yeah, because...
That scene happens like after the first time they are at the police station talking to Mackie. That's like after the first conversation with Mackie.
When she finds out she doesn't have the story anymore?
No, she finds out about that later.
She's at the bar. All
right.
She's at the bar. She hangs up. She goes to get a drink. And that's when Mackie sidles up next to her and says, my track record is 85 out of 86. That's how many people I've put away. It's how many homicides I've seen. How many I've closed to my satisfaction. And the one is Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she's in the bar and she aggressively hangs up and then starts drinking and Mackie is there.
Okay.
Do you not believe me?
No, I don't. That little like encounter I'm pretty sure happens earlier in the movie.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because there's one time she's at the bar.
No, there's... Okay.
She's at the bar once in the movie.
Yes, earlier in the movie.
No, because she's on the phone.
She's just fucking drinking at the bar.
She's on the
phone. Her second drink.
She's on the phone at the bar and then goes, because she doesn't have a phone up at the house.
It happens like in the middle of the fucking movie. It doesn't happen at the end.
Well, we're not at the end yet.
Okay. We're bouncing so much around.
In any event, that is something that happened.
Yes, it is something that happened.
Yes. And she goes home and Dolores is having the mental... Maybe you're right. Anyway, Dolores is having a mental breakdown and they both go home and she starts to drink.
Dolores, that's later in the movie.
Dolores is drinking. Okay, maybe I did fuck something up. In any event... I'm just trying. Things happen.
It's fine.
Things are happening. I just remembered that it's important. I thought it happened at this point. I'm wrong. I will say that I'm wrong on pod. I'm wrong.
I don't believe you.
What?
Nothing.
What don't you believe me?
This feels insincere. They're drinking.
They're drinking. And this is where...
They reveal all the abuse.
Yeah, they reveal...
Papa Joe did. What actually happened, you know, from her perspective.
And she hops in the... She's like... She is like, no.
It's like, I'm out. See ya.
I'm out. Goodbye.
And then it's like, I'm going to call a lawyer. They're going to call you. Have your phone ready. Mm-hmm. Get this figured out. Because then there's also like, don't go to that weird deposition that they set up for you.
There's a lot of really weird off-the-book stuff.
Yeah, yeah. There's like this investigation is sort of a fly-by-night situation. Doesn't really feel above board. They go Air Bud rules towards the end there.
That's why I'm also like, this feels really...
It's like, this doesn't seem right.
But I see why, even if Selena is mad at her mom, she has a sense of justice enough to realize, like, her mom's getting done dirty.
Yeah, yeah. So then, like, she's driving away in her rental car. And there's a couple other things that we're not going to cover, but that's fine. This is, we're already deep into this. But as she's driving away with all her stuff, she finds a cassette that Dolores had recorded, basically saying, like,
silly.
It is very silly, but it's like, she's literally driving away. The house is in the rear view, and she's like, Mom, what the fuck? And it, like, picks up the cassette that, like,
she puts it in.
And Dolores is like, hey, not gonna talk to your lawyer. I'm gonna go talk to those dudes, and this is what I'm gonna say. And it goes then, flashes to her going to the deposition or whatever the fuck this is, mm-hmm. and she gives her version of events of what happened with Vera, which jumps us back to pretty much like around the time that we last saw Vera in the movie, where she's like talking about how she hates living, and Dolores is downstairs prepping brekkie or whatever time it is.
Yeah,
evening, I don't know. Prepping some food.
Yeah, she's doing her job.
She left Vera up there with like a plate of stuff and a little
porcelain pig.
A little porcelain pig that plays
Happy Days Are Here Again.
Happy Days Are Here Again, and it's all sad and it's depressing. And the song ends. She hears a crash. Dolores hears a crash from upstairs, and Vera is going off. She's going nuts. She's in that wheelchair. She is heading right towards those stairs.
She is going to take her own life.
Yeah, she's like, I'm done. Throw me down the stairs. And Dolores is like, no. And they have a tussle. Vera overtakes her somehow and bites her, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
She bites her.
Yeah. And then Vera goes tumbling down the stairs, and it's back to the beginning of the movie.
And we definitely do see that Dolores is pushed back and has no hand. Because at the beginning, we do not know if she was pushed.
Right.
She is not pushed down the stairs.
No.
And she asks, we get a little bit more of the scene when Dolores comes down, and she's like, because
talking to Vera, she's like dying on the stairs.
And she's like, I'm going to get you help. And Vera's like, you do not let me die in a hospital. Do not put me in a hospital.
Yeah, kill me now.
Kill me now. Beginning of the movie. We flash to Selena is on the ferry. She's leaving with a lot of thoughts on her head. On her head. You were like, she's at a concession stand. And you're like, there's a concession stand on the ferry.
This is like, what the fuck?
And we get, again, it molds into a flashback
that she now sees.
This scene
is disgusting. It's the most uncomfortable shit I've ever seen.
I think we all screamed.
Like, yeah, no, we were all upset.
She's on the ferry with her dad. And he's saying some really weird shit.
Oh, God.
He's like, you know, she's got the cameo on, and he's like, you know, my mother got this from her mother, and I'm giving it to you. I don't give it to just anybody. You're a very special girl. And then she's like, doesn't really want to be touched by him.
Yeah.
And he is like, hey, he takes the cocoa out of her hands that he had just given her, and he's like, your hands are cold. Yeah. And then he looks around. I immediately knew what was going to happen. He's like, your hands are cold. So he forces her to give him a hand job. We don't see a lot, but we just hear. We hear what he, it's.
It's disgusting.
And, you know, he's like, just like I showed you. So he said, just like I showed you. So we know this is not the first time.
Oh, my God.
So what we see is older Selena watching this happen. The other thing, I don't know if you noticed, young Selena looks up and makes eye contact with her.
Weird. I was just so disgusted by the scene, I did not notice that.
It's this moment of, like, I think her realizing, like, everything that my mother said was correct. She did not make any of this up.
Yeah.
She didn't make any of that up. Why would she be lying about anything else?
Selena then comes in clutch. Saves the day. She comes back to the deposition where the judge and, like, the constable and Mackie are holding this in an empty schoolroom or something. I don't know.
It's like, I don't know, like, the, you know, the town hall room where every... The room in the town hall where, like, they hold baby showers.
Yeah, it's weird. So they're, like, in this empty dark room, like, where the judge is listening to sort of details of Mackie's report and, like, whatever Dolores has to say for herself. And then Selena comes in and they're like, you're not supposed to be here. This is a closed meeting. And then... And then Selena says, I have every right to be her. I'm her daughter. And I'm like, I don't think you do.
But she also was like, also, this is not an official legal proceeding. Also so that. Fuck you.
Yeah, fair enough. Also there.
She's like, I know enough about the law to know that this is not above board.
This is not above board. You're going Air Bud rules out here.
We do get. And so there's this sort of really tense. It's really tense scene with her. Basically saying, like, this is circumstantial evidence because his only evidence is a couple people at a bar heard her or wherever she was. I don't know if it was at the bar. Heard Dolores say she was going to kill Vera.
Oh, no, it was like a couple people overhearing her, like, with Vera, because they were like, she was providing end of life care 24/7 for the last 10 years of Vera's life.
Yeah.
And so
end of life care for the last 10 years. Yeah. Holy shit.
So they were like, people were in and out and could hear, like, Dolores, like,
so they're
razzing her.
Which, but, like...
It seemed like they had sort of this sort of antagonistic and kind of, like, relationship towards the end is what we learned.
Like, if somebody based my personality off of when I'm angry at Allegra and I look... She does something that pisses me off and I look at her and I'm like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
If somebody based my whole personality and, like, everything about me off of that one line, I'd be going to jail. I didn't know now. for threat of murder. And... Yeah. But that's just the thing, is, like...
It's like she just said it. It's not... Does not mean that she's doing it.
Yeah.
Like, this is, like... Just
so the, that's her the, whole thing is, like, and then the guy walks in and sees her with a rolling pin.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's pretty much, that's what we have. That's all we've got is eyewitness. We don't know, because he does take, like, some samples and things. We don't know what he, if he found anything, any DNA evidence. That is not clear because she does not address it. Because she has read through the report and she is just like, it's just she being Selena. It's like, this is all circumstantial. And you also do not know what their relationship was like.
Yeah.
If people are seeing the tensest moments, like, that doesn't mean that they didn't care for each other and love each other. And also, my mom did not know about the will. And he's like, you really think that if they loved each other so much that she wouldn't have mentioned the will? And I'm like,
yeah.
Considering the fact that, like, how little Dolores was paid.
Yeah, yeah.
Dolores wasn't there for the money.
No.
That's not what this was about.
Yeah.
And it is... Selena says it best when she's like, Mackie, we must have a criminal mastermind in our midst. Because my mother supposedly forced Vera to change her will... And then waited 8 years to cash in on it?
It's like, what? Just doing all that, cleaning out her shit, her piss pots.
Are you saying that Dolores just loves it? And she does mention, she's like, tell the judge why we're really here. Because she's done it before. And the judge is like, is there a prior felony?
Oh, no.
And he's like, no, she wasn't indicted. And she does say, like, Selena tells the judge, my father fell in a well, an old well, because he was drinking. And they found him after the accident. And Mackie's like, is that what you believe? And there's sort of this like moment, this tense moment, and she is like, I owe you an apology because I called you a son of a bitch. And you said that we're alike. We are alike. We've spent the past 20 years persecuting my mother, Dolores yeah. Claiborne.
Yeah, that was a sweet line.
Oh,
perfect.
She's like, and she sort of drags out the fact that if it were not for the fact that it was Dolores, they would not be here.
Yeah. 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 Beautiful. Snaps all around. Case dismissed.
It's kind of up in the air because he doesn't say, but
he's kinda, just like, this is bullshit. Get out of here.
Yeah. And because it just sort of ends.
It does, yeah.
You know? But she does say to him, like, just so you're aware, if this goes to court, the defense is going to eat your ass on this. Because
it's the winning position, eating the ass.
Yes.
Because the person's so vulnerable.
Yes.
It's like, what's she going to do? I'm going to eat your ass.
because they're going to, like, nail you with every circumstantial evidence. The fact that you held her without, you know, like, she wasn't, yeah, she was just like a suspect.
This is shoddy. This is shoddy police work.
Like, so much shoddy police work everywhere. All you have is eyewitness testimony. That's the only thing you have, and you're trying to put her away. Plus, also, it probably will come out that you are trying to get clear your record. You're trying to make it so you're 86 for 86. Well, 87 now. You know, that's kind of shit. That puts you in a very bad position.
Yeah.
Dolores walks free, at least at this time. Yeah. Because we really don't get a super clear resolution, except for they have sort of started healing, the two of them.
Nature is healing,
Dolores and Selena. And Selena does say, like, if you need it, like, I have these lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know what Mackie's going to do. Is Mackie going to go home and be like, fuck? And Selena leaves. And she leaves Dolores on the ferry. One thing that, again, is, like, kind of unsatisfying is not only that we don't really know what next steps are in terms of, like, is Mackie just going to go whole hog and drag out, create this whole drawn out legal battle? Or is he going to be like, Selena had a point? Regardless of what happens, people are probably always going to see Dolores as the woman who committed two murders and got away with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how she's going to have a normal life on that island.
Yeah, don't think so. Think she'd be better off taking her 1.6 million. Maybe going to Bangor or something.
Yeah. So that's the movie with an argument between Jackson. Uh-huh. That when something happened.
It happened.
It did happen. And again, I probably did fuck up where it is. And
don't
I apologize.
You fucking apologize to me.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Oh, Jackson.
What? Money?
Yeah. What do you think the budget for this movie was?
Okay, we had some pretty okay cast members here. We had Kathy fucking Bates, of all people. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting something that's a little on the higher side. There's a lot of sets. A lot of different sets also throughout this whole movie. So there's cost there. What about the catering? You know, what did that look like? Was there sushi? Did Kathy have something unique on the rider? You know? Okay, so I'm going to say, for all that shrimp cocktail, $10 million.
You're close. 13 mil.
Ah, oh, so close.
What do you think it made at the box office?
I bet it didn't do well. I think just because, like, it's a slower movie, and that was probably pretty evident. And I think that even though this was really good, I think most people probably when they go to a Stephen King movie are probably expecting something more supernatural now, mm-hmm. especially at this time.
But keep in mind, Misery just came out and people fucking loved it. Kathy Bates was in it. Not to give you a hint, but just I want you to consider that.
All right, $25 million.
It was.
Get the budget back.
$46.4 million.
It did all right.
It did all right. So it was shot in Nova Scotia, which I think is close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough.
And it that, like,
that makes sense as far as like aesthetics, mm-hmm. how everything looked.
Absolutely. Oh, Time named it one of the top 10 greatest Stephen King film adaptations. Wow. I would agree with that so far. I mean, I haven't read enough, actually. But, like, it's a good fucking movie.
It's a good movie, for sure. Yeah, but adaptation-wise, not sure.
I'm still, like I said, I'm still kind of surprised at how low the rating is for this movie.
Yeah, you said, like, user ratings are just not that good for this, right?
Yeah, I'm going to actually go to the websites to look. Because... yeah, so we have a 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, fine. An 85 on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's okay.
And a 62 on Metacritic.
That's a little surprising, I think, but that's also not necessarily a bad sign.
A lot of people, like, or not a lot of people. Let's see, we've got...
I think if you're in the 70s, 80s, you're probably seen relatively as a good movie in general.
Yeah. New York Times. So Janet Maslin of the New York Times said, only after the film has carefully laid the groundwork for a story of old wounds and violent mishaps does the anticlimactic truth become apparent, unquote. And I'm like,
it is kind of projected as you get closer to it, I think. I do think, like, it does become more and more obvious as you become, like, more aware of just Dolores' story and that, no, yeah, she is right within, like, the situation with the husband, and we see a little bit more of the relationship with Vera kind of unfold. It does become more of like a, yeah, something else had happened. And yeah. Like, I did think, definitely more along the lines of assisted suicide or her just having a suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it became less more of like you thinking, oh, she killed her, and more of like, what's the justification of how she did not kill her? That's more of what I was thinking as I got into the movie.
I think that the other thing to keep in mind is the fact that the climax for me is not, it's that, like, I think there, it is climactic when you, like, because of the action occurring.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps me, it's more of, finally seeing it play out and have that resolution of seeing, like, this is what happened and things are kind of, like, everyone's coming to a place in which we can move forward. For me, that is more important than
the actual, like, resolution of, like, oh, yeah, that was all an accident, kind of. She killed herself. Yeah. I agree with you. I don't think the reveal at the end is necessarily the climax. I think if I was to argue what scene was the climax, it's Selena on the ferry. Because that's when basically all the memories open up. And Selena is now like, holy shit, Dolores is right.
Yeah, that is it.
That's it.
That's it. That's it. And then the resolution, again, if you think of story structure, all of the tension,
it's the Fibonacci curve. We all know it.
The what?
The golden rule. It's going up,
like, everything else is just rising action. And I agree with you. I think that is the moment where it's blown open and you're like, shit. But again, it's so frustrating watching Mackie in this movie think that he's so high and mighty because he's trying to put away a killer that he knows did it. Sure, maybe she did fucking do it. But you did not consider the circumstances in which that these events occurred.
Yeah.
And that it is not an open and shut case as he is thinking it is. And the, like, He is so sure that Dolores is after money because he even says that when he is like interrogating a young Selena and she says, I went to work even though my mom doesn't let me stay overnight usually. I went to work because we were getting paid extra because of the eclipse. And he's like, oh, so it's all about money. And I'm like, what do you think you know? You think you're so smart? You think you're so smart. And I know that there are people that make a living out of, you know, reading people and putting together profiles of people. But I think that sometimes you just have to admit that for all of your experience, sometimes you can just be wrong.
Yeah, there you go. And that's what Mackie learned, is that sometimes he's wrong.
So do you think that Mackie continued this pursuit?
I think that he probably cooled off, I'd like to assume, because it's kind of like, where does he go from here? And it's not like this is ever going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, his leads are all dried up.
Yeah, but he does also really think that she's going to, like, kill again. He thinks that she's, it's like...
What about the next eclipse? As if, like, oh, she plans this around the eclipses. What?
It's... Yeah, I hope that he leaves Dolores alone. I hope Dolores gets her money and she fucks off.
Yeah, goes to
Hawaii.
Goes to Bermuda, Bahama.
Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego.
Baby, why don't we go?
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode. And I don't know what we're going to do for next
month. I want to take you down to Kokomo.
Jackson is picking next month. You had one.
Yes. Salem's Lot.
Oh!
We'll see you next time, everybody.
Bye.